We just got back from Oklahoma. While we were there at the conference in Oklahoma, particularly Tony Hudson was preaching, and he said something I do agree with. He said that we are living in a Laodicean church period. We see it all around us that we're living in this lukewarm, no commitment Laodicean church period. I want to say, though, this morning that there's no scripture that I know of that says that you cannot be and I cannot be a Philadelphian type believer in the midst of a Laodicean church period. We can be a Philadelphian Independent Fundamental Baptist Church in the midst of this period. And I believe the scripture that we read this morning is for any time during the church period from Pentecost all the way up to the rapture. And it's for any people that God would bless with these blessings that we so desperately need. I'm thinking of Dr. Jack Hiles. He was the pastor of the world's largest Sunday school. And I remember him saying in the 1980s, he said, "Now is the time, this is the place, we are the people." I believe that's true right here in 2024. Amen. I know Brother Bob preached about our church Wednesday night. I believe that for our church, that we are in a place of God's open door. We could be called Open Door Baptist Church this year, amen? And I believe that God is getting ready to shake Scranton. God's getting ready to shake Northeastern PA. And God, as Pastor Dr. Charles Ware used to say, God fitting to shake America. I believe that we're getting ready for that even right now. And so I've chosen to preach on a message called How Revival Comes to You. How Revival Comes to You. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about this church. I'm talking about you. And I want to say that in Acts chapter 2 verse 6 it says that basically revival is its own advertisement. It says, "Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together." You know, when Jesus was here on earth, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, above his brethren, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And wherever Jesus went, how many of you have noticed that a multitude was always with him? A multitude was always after him. And I believe that that's exactly what happened here. Remember, Jesus said, "It's better for you that I go away." He said, "Because if I go away, what I've got, you're going to have. What I've got, you're going to have." He said, "Out of your belly, as the scripture has said, shall flow rivers of living water." And you know what? Jesus went away. And our scripture today is the first coming of the Holy Spirit to empower his people, his church, to witness for him. And that was the first coming. And then what happened there in Pentecost is something, not the revelatory sign gifts of the apostles. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about the power of God to fulfill God's will is meant to be repeated in our generation. And I'm just saying this morning that God did it then on the day of Pentecost. He can do it again. And again and again. And he uses men. Weak people like you. Weak people like me. To get his work done. Why does he use weak people like us? Because he gets the glory for it. He gets the praise for it. And so we're talking about how revival comes to you. And I want to look at Acts chapter 2 and look at four things to show you how revival comes to you. First of all, look at verse 2 of Acts 2. It says, And suddenly there came the sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. I want to say, first of all, that revival, when it comes suddenly. Let me say that again. Revival, when it comes to a church, when it comes to an individual believer, comes suddenly in your life. Now, though it comes suddenly, it has to have a preparation. God doesn't pour out His grace into your life and the power and blessing of His Spirit in your life unless you are prepared for it. He's not going to waste it. He's going to make sure that you're prepared. And so I want to say, though it happened suddenly, at this time, the disciples had already been trained to follow Jesus. And these people that were leading the church at that time spent time with the Lord. And let me say to you that if you want to do something for God, you need to follow Him. If you're saved, you need to follow Him and get baptized. That's the first thing you should do if you're a born-again Christian, is you should follow the Lord. Jesus got baptized, you should get baptized. And then you should follow the Lord and join the church. On the same day these people get baptized, they join the church. And then you should be in the Word of God and listen to preaching. We heard some preaching this week. Amen. And listen to teaching. There's a difference between preaching and teaching. We need both. Amen. And you should follow the Lord. And you should follow the Lord by getting in the Bible here and finding out His will for your life. And He's got blessings for you. And then they realize their mission. Before God poured out this revival, or the power of the Holy Spirit, if you will, to fulfill their mission, He gave them their mission. See, they were all into when they were going to reign with Christ in the kingdom. And the Lord said, no, I got something for you to do. And what did He say? He said, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Right now, our mission is we're supposed to be telling people about Jesus Christ. And we're supposed to be witnessing for Jesus Christ to people, because what the world needs now more than anything else is not the LGBTQ junk. What the world needs now more than anything else is not more heavy metal bands, not more Taylor Swifts. What the world needs now more than anything else is not more porno coming out of the Hollywood crowd. What the world needs now more than anything else is the old-time bread of life that came down from heaven to feed something in you that drugs cannot fulfill, that fornication cannot fill, that nothing can fulfill, but only God Himself. Jesus died and His body was broken. Not a bone, but His body was broken. His blood was shed to wash your sins away so you could be a born-again believer. And He gave them their mission. He said, look, church, this is what you're supposed to be doing. You're gazing into heaven. You're looking for the kingdom to be set up. He said, but first you need to fulfill your mission, and so you need to get that down in preparation. The revival came suddenly. The power of God came suddenly. The blessing of God came suddenly. But it was not without preparation. By the way, you're not prepared for God in your life if you're here and you're not saved. The Bible says that most people are going to die and go to hell. I went to Jose Tatis's funeral, and his family and friends were there. And I said, unfortunately, most people are going the broad way, and they're going to just die and go to hell. A lot of people think they're saved because they know Jesus died and rose again. That doesn't mean you've trusted Him personally as your personal Savior. But He invites you to that. Amen. And once you do that, you have vival, you have life, and now you're ready for revival and the blessings of God that is being talked about here. These people were saved. They were already believers in Christ. Have you been saved yet? If not, today let it be the day that you receive Christ as your Savior. And then we need a revival of the old-time Billy Sunday type religion. I believe that in America, what will really make America great, and without revival, there is no survival. We need a revival of the old-time King James Bible, old-time religion where God lifts up His standards of holiness and living for God. And let me say to this, revival doesn't begin in the White House, it begins in God's house. The Bible says, and the Apostle Peter said, let judgment begin in the house of God. That's what we need more than anything else. And people are looking for things to happen in the White House. Well, let it happen in God's house first. And that's perhaps why we've been waiting so long. Because God says, without revival, there is no survival. And it does come suddenly. But my point is, it comes with preparation. You need to prepare for it. And one of the ways you prepare, now that the Holy Spirit has come and Pentecost has come, we need to be faithful to keep on going with the gospel. The Bible says, don't despise the day of small things. You know, revival is big things happening. But listen, before God does big things, He says, be faithful in little things. Be faithful in little things. Paul said, I labored more abundantly than they all. He worked hard. And I appreciated the men down there. They were talking about soul winning and knocking on doors and telling people about Jesus. And that's what I want to be doing. And that's what you need to be doing. And God says, when you're faithful in those little things, you get ready for the big things. And I'm thinking of Jack Hiles years ago. He was a pastor. He was preaching. He was taught to go soul winning and all of that in Texas. He was in East Texas. But then he realized, wait a minute. I need to do more for God. I need to see more great things happen for God. And so he went into the pine thickets out there around his church in East Texas, and he fasted and he prayed for revival. He actually read books about men of God of the past who won many souls to Christ because God blessed them and had the power of God upon them. And he said, Lord, I want those great things here in my life. I want them in my church. I want them in my ministry. And that was all part of the preparation. Do you hunger and thirst after God? Do you hunger and thirst after the hand of God and the power of God? We have so much of man today, so much of Laodicean Christianity today, so much of a flesh show today where people are put forth and ladies are put forth with immodest clothing and so forth to try to show off the flesh, to try to draw a crowd. My friend, we need a revival of the old-time religion. Where people come. You know, when Billy Sunday came to Scranton in 1914, we marched around where his tabernacle was, and we claimed that for God a few years back. I think it was around 2014. We did that on the 100th centennial. Ms. Sobotnick, you remember that. And do you know that the Scranton Times printed his sermons? Do you know that the Scranton Times talked about what was going on? When God is moving, it gets people's attention. And the church needs a move of God today, and we need those kind of revivals today. It comes suddenly, but it's something that is prepared for. Do you know in early America, they had men of God that used to believe in revival, and when they saw problems in the country, they would keep on witnessing, but they would also meet for prayer and fasting and ask God to empower them and to bless them and to save people and to change life. And these churches saw that. And there was a man that came over from Europe. He said, I'm trying to figure out what makes America different. And he went to the White House, and he went to the Capitol, and he went to see the government of America, and he went to see people around working on their job. He couldn't figure out what made America different than Europe. And you know what he said? His name was Alexis de Tocqueville. Yes, he went into the churches and he saw the reality of the old-time Bible being preached. He saw the reality of people personally accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior and then following the Lord because they were born again Christians. That's what you need today. You're not going to heaven unless you're born again, America. A lot of people in America, oh, I'm going to heaven. I have some kind of head knowledge of Jesus. You must be born again. Amen. You must be born again. Or you'll split hell wide open, friend. And Jesus has opened his arms to say, I died. Look at the holes in my hands. Look at the holes in my... I died, but you won't accept me because you want the world. You can't have the world in Jesus. You got to turn to Jesus Christ. As one man said, turn or burn. Turn to Christ or burn with the world. And that is the message. I'm just saying that revival comes suddenly. And these men saw revivals in their churches and the great awakenings in America. And it was a blessing. You know, this one church in Jerusalem, they had been together. And there were 120 members in this church. And they had been together. But do you know what? When they had the power of the Holy Spirit granted to them, that in one day, suddenly they went from 120 to a membership of 3,120 people. Do you know what? God can do that again. He did it then. He can do it again. I'm just saying, how does revival come to you? It comes suddenly, number one. But number two, I want you to know it comes sovereignly. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by sovereignly? I mean that God sets the time. God has a set time. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, it says in Psalm 102:13, Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. Now, let me read what happened here in this revival in Acts 2, verse 1. It says, And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that was a particular feast. And the Israelite people on that day celebrated the harvest. It was 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits. And they celebrated the ingathering of the harvest. And God said, I have chosen on that day when they celebrate the harvest to celebrate my final harvest where I'm going to gather people in before I pour out my wrath. And that was a day that the Holy Spirit was given from heaven and not only baptized those people into the body of Christ, but it also empowered them to fulfill the witness of Jesus Christ so that they had power that they didn't have before. People say to me sometimes, Pastor, how do you stand up and preach? How do you do what you do? I am a shy person. I normally do not speak to people and come out of myself in my natural. I don't have what I would call the gift of gab. I don't have that. My wife has that. I don't have it. Most women do, I guess. But I'm just saying to you, God has called us to speak for Him. He's called us to witness for Him. And if He did that, I need a helper. And Jesus said, I'm going to send you that helper. And that helper not only helps me to say what I need to say, but guess what? He speaks to your heart. And you know what? When we witness, He speaks to the hearts of people. There are people here today that you're not saved. And as I'm telling you about Jesus Christ, it's not just me talking to you. The Lord Jesus is talking to you. He's knocking at the door of your heart. And He's saying, open the door and receive me. So I'll wash your sins away. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Lady, you may have been involved in drugs, fornication, everything under the sun. You can be snow white. You know, people like the Disney princesses, the old Disney princesses, like Snow White. And they'd like to get back there. I'm just telling you, there's only one person that can make you Snow White. Yes, and that's the one that was covered with the sins of the world when he died on that cross. Jesus Christ. He can do it in a moment. And that's the blessing of the Lord. And that's what Jesus is doing. But I'm just saying, as you witness to somebody and I witness to somebody, and we heard that from Alan Donnelly, God gives us the Holy Spirit, not so we can just hold on. Oh, I got all these blessings. Oh, thank God, I'm going to heaven. Oh, man, me and mine and nobody else. No, he gives you the Holy Spirit so you can give to others the gospel. And when you give to others the gospel, you are allowing the Holy Spirit to work. Because he's given to convict the world of sin, righteousness, judgment. You're allowing him to convict people that they're sinful, that they're going to die and go to hell. But that Jesus can give them a right standing with God through faith. But it doesn't happen if you don't release it. And all I'm saying is that we should be doing this all the time, but God has his sovereign times when he pours out his blessings. And I seek to be obedient when I feel good and when I don't feel good. I seek to be obedient.
Amen.
It was 28 degrees this morning. I didn't feel like coming in that kind of weather. I'd been in 70-some degree weather. But whether it's cold or hot, I'm going to come.
Amen. Yeah.
And you know what? The Bible says, sow the gospel in season, out of season. But if you plant seed in winter, it doesn't grow very well. And so there are times in God's sovereign economy when you may have been witnessing, you may have been working, and you should be, and God suddenly will bless you.
Yeah.
And bring you into a season of blessing. I said to the Sunday school class, a lot of people don't stay in church and stay at it long enough to get into that harvest season, but God has that harvest season. I like what Curtis Hudson's son said, Tony Hudson. How many have heard Tony preach? And Tony Hudson, an old-time preacher, and Tony Hudson, how many have heard him preach in person? Amen. I love that. And he said something. He said he was raised on drugs. I thought, raised on drugs? His dad was a born-again, independent, fundamental Baptist preacher. Curtis Hudson, editor of Sword of the Lord, had a great church in Decatur, Georgia, suburb of Atlanta. What do you mean, raised on drugs? He was raised in a Christian home. He said, no, I was drugged to church Sunday morning. I was drugged Sunday evening. I was drugged Wednesday. I was raised on drugs. But he said there came a day when he'd heard it all, but there came a day when he was convicted. You're dying and going to hell, Tony. You, every generation needs regeneration. You can't live on your daddy's faith. You need to believe on Christ yourself and come to Christ yourself. And he was saved. And I'm just saying, God has a set time to save people. You and I, we just need to be faithful. And we need to prepare. And suddenly, in God's set time, sovereignly, God comes through. And you know what? We have been faithful to give the gospel all these years. I've been here since, as a pastor, since 78. I've been here as a member since 1971. And we've given the gospel. But there have been set times when God gave us a lot of people that got saved. 1986 to 1996, one of those times. 2000 to 2012. And I believe right now, Brother Bob, in 2024, we may now be in another set time for people to get saved. But I do know this. I do know this. This is a big day today. It's called Hot Fudge Sunday. But you know what? And a lot of times on these big days, Pentecost was a big day. A lot of people came together. You know why God chose to do what he did on that day? Do you know why? He did it sovereignly. It was his choice. But you know why he did it? A lot of people were gathered. It was a big day. It was a feast day. And a lot of people got saved and heard the message. You're here today. Why do we do these things on Palm Sunday? Why do we do these things on Easter Sunday? Because we're into Easter bunnies and all that? No, we're into Jesus.
Amen. Preach it.
Amen.
We want to win people to Christ. And we take advantage of the big days. You're here today. You got saved on a Carnival Sunday.
Right.
Is that right? You're here today because God says today is the day of salvation for you. Now is the accepted time, not tomorrow. We've been praying for you for weeks and months. But now Jesus is knocking. He says, okay, I'm calling your name. It's time for you to put your faith in me. You say, well, what do I have to do to be saved? You come to him just as you are, a sinner. There's nothing you can do to earn it. There's nothing you can do to deserve it. You come to him as you are. But he sovereignly has brought you here for that purpose, I believe. And so revival comes suddenly. It comes sovereignly. Thirdly, I want to say this. It comes strongly. Notice in verse 2, it says in Acts 2, there came from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now, last I checked out, a rushing mighty wind is strong. I have been in winds so strong they push you. You know, people get into hurricanes and the wind is so strong in a Category 4 or 5 hurricane, it literally pushed them. They can't stand against the wind. I think of a flood of water, which is like a rushing mighty water. And Marion, you know about this. Marion was in that flood up in South Abington. She and her friend were eating, and they couldn't even get back to the motel where the friend was staying because of that flood. And right there in South Abington, two people got caught in that flood, and a couple, and they were drowned. How many heard about that? Yeah, they were drowned. It's a scary thing. You know, the flow of God is a powerful thing, and people that try to stand against it, they can't stand against it. And I want to say something to you this morning. Now I guess it's afternoon, technically. But I want to say this, that ever since the day of Pentecost, we are in the flow of God's Spirit, bringing people to Jesus Christ. And that's going to go on till the Lord comes and raptures us out of here. And I'm just saying to you that right now there is a flow of God going on, and I decided years ago, Brother Z, I wanted to get in that flow. I wanted to get in the Independent Fundamental Baptist Church and the flow of God to win people to Christ and to win as many as I could. And I'm still there.
Amen.
And I remember Acts chapter 5 when they tried to stop these witnesses, and they tried to arrest them. They tried to beat them. They tried to insult them. They tried to threaten them. They could not stop them. You know what? I admire some people in the secular world more than believers. Believers, just at the first little bit of trouble, they put their tail between their legs and hide out. You have something available to you to get you out of the upper room. You know, the church started in the upper room and got the power of God and went out. And they were agonizing in prayer in the upper room. They had a 10-day prayer meeting. Now the Laodicean church is so often just organizing in the supper room. And I'm just saying to you, I want to have something big happen.
Amen.
And it, when it happens, it comes strongly. And the enemies of the gospel, they said, well, we'll put these guys in jail. We'll threaten them. We'll threaten them. And one of their own leaders said, you guys, you don't know what you're saying. He said, just let them alone. He said, if this be of God, it'll come to, if this is of man, it'll come to nothing. But if it be of God, you can't overthrow it, because you'll be fighting God. And I decided, I don't want to fight God's man. I don't want to fight the Bible. I don't want to fight Jesus. Some of you have been fighting the Lord. Stop it.
Amen.
Surrender to it.
Amen.
Get in the flow. And you will go forward because you can't overthrow God's flow. So stay with it. And I found out when I went out in 1986 to a great conference, Independent Fundamental Baptist Conference, and talking about the old time religion and soul winning, I found out I was filled with the power of God to witness and helped. And I'd been witnessing, but now I was helped. I felt like I was just kind of a church dinging along until the rapture. And I decided I don't want to ding along to the rapture. I want to have more fruit and power and blessing. And so I prayed for God's blessing. And that is what it's talking about here. It comes strongly. Not only do you witness, but God witnesses through you. And I think of Peter, when he preached, people said, "What must I do to be saved?" When Paul preached, the Philippian jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" And that's the work of God when you're witnessing. And we were coming back from Oklahoma, and I sat next to a guy named Arlen on the airplane, on the jet. And he was a cowboy. And he said, "I worked through the winter taking care of cattle." And he said, "I'm married and don't have any kids, but I'm married." He said, "I'm traveling now to Boston because I'm going to be a lineman. I do lineman work. And I go all over the country to do that. And I'm flying to Boston now to fix some power lines up there." And gets good pay for that. And I asked him about whether he's going to heaven. And I started seeing he had a need to be saved. And I started talking to him about being saved. And he said, "You know what? What is being saved?" And I told him that Jesus rescues you from going to hell. And he had to pay a price to do that. And he died and rose again. And he will take you to heaven if you put your faith in him. And you know what? Right there in that airplane, Arlen bowed his head and prayed to receive Christ as his Savior. Amen. I was so glad to have him sitting right next to me. Who was on the other side of me? Was that you? And he was on the other side. And so I was in the middle seat. Usually guys don't like the middle seat, but I was fine because I had that guy in my life. And I'm so happy to tell you about Jesus this morning. And notice that the gospel, when it comes in the power of revival, it comes not only suddenly and sovereignly and strongly, but lastly, it comes savingly. Look at Acts 2:41. We read it this morning. I'll read it. Acts 2:41. And it says this: "Then they that gladly received his word," the word of the gospel, "were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers." You know what happens when God, the Holy Spirit, helps us to witness? People get saved. You know, when Billy Sunday came to Scranton, 1/4 of the whole city of 100,000 people got saved. They walked the sawdust trail and got saved. 10 years later, 80% of those people that were numbered as getting saved were still serving God in local churches. I have a problem with people that say they're saved and there's no change in their life. I have a problem of people say that I'm saved and you don't see them turning away from their boozing. You don't see them turning away from their fornication. You don't see any change in their life. There's something wrong with that. The Bible said, don't be deceived. Those people are not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven in 1 Corinthians. And I'm just saying to you, I'm thinking of D.L. Moody. He was a great evangelist. And he had two ladies that prayed for him to have revival. And he said, "I don't need any more revival. I'm witnessing. I'm winning people. I'm building a huge Sunday school in Chicago. I'm working hard. I just need to work harder." And they said, "Well, you're working hard. That's great. But you need the power of the Holy Spirit to help you. And we're praying for you, Moody." And they kept praying for him. But you know, D.L. Moody was walking with a guy in Chicago one time, and he stepped off a curb to go across the street, and there in a ditch was laying a drunk. In the ditch. And The guy with Moody said, "Mr. Moody, isn't that one of your converts?" And Moody said, "It must be one of mine, because it sure isn't one of God's." You see, when God saves you, doesn't mean you're perfect.
Right.
Doesn't mean you'll never fall.
Right.
But there's a change.
Right.
How's that song? "Since I've been born again, there is a great change since I've been born." You hear it? That song, it speaks to it. I can say it in my life. I'm a sinner, I'm weak, I fail, but I'm a saint that sins. I'm a saint that sins. You remember the other Matthew?
Nope.
In Oklahoma, that guy? He says nope. You remember him. I got mad at somebody in Oklahoma. They took all the clothes out of my room, and I called and I said, "I'm Matthew." And I laid into him. Wow, did I lay into him. That's why I said the other Matthew there. And I went to look for him to apologize later. Just want you to know. But we sin, we fail. But I tell you what. I'm saved. And I thank God for being saved. And revival gets a lot of people saved. And I want to see more people truly saved. I remember Hannah in the Bible, you know, she prayed so much for children, and she was barren and couldn't have any kids. And the high priest saw her and said, "You've been drinking." She said, "I'm not drinking, I'm trying to pray that I have a child." He said, "Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Lord, bless this lady and give her a child." And God gave her Samuel. And then she had five more kids after that, when she couldn't have any kids, that God blessed her. And I remember telling the Lord, my wife and I have had six kids. We got 15 grandkids. So I'm not asking for any more of that. Two dogs were taken care of. I'm not asking for any. I'm done with that. I don't need any more. No more. No mas. But I want more spiritual children. And I told the Lord, "Help me to break out of barrenness like Hannah, Lord. I've had people praying to receive Christ, but I want to see them come to church, get baptized, join the church, go out soul winning." The other day we had a prayer meeting, and I noticed we had eight people in that prayer meeting. Four of them were people that got saved in one of those times of revival through my soul winning or preaching. And I said, "Praise the Lord for that." Because revival, the power of God, results in people really getting saved. It comes suddenly, but there needs to be preparation. It comes upon us sovereignly in God's chosen time. So we need to stay and just be faithful in all times. It comes strongly. And so we need to seek the strength of the Lord to give us His blessing. And it comes savingly. And that's what it's all about, seeing people get saved. We're talking about how revival comes to you. May God bless you with that scripture. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed. We've been talking about how revival